Welcome to Book Delight with Chrissy Wright, the podcast where readers can be all kinds of ways and books really are magic. I'm your host, Chrissy Wright. I'm an elementary teacher librarian in the Pacific Northwest. On this show, I aim to connect you and the kids in your life to more books you love. If the idea of blowing up your kidlit TBR appeals to you, you're in the right place. Today, I've got a short but sweet book list episode for you. I recently completed an author study unit with my second and third graders. We spent 6 weeks exploring the works of one of my very favorite kidlit creators, Mac Barnett. Today, I thought it would be fun to recap the books we read and rank them in order of how much fun they were to read aloud with a kid audience. Spoiler, it was really hard to rank them because the quality across the board here is just so freaking fantastic. So, let's get into it. Here is my completely subjective ranking of 7 Mac Barnett books in order of how fun they are to read aloud. It's on this highly technical scale from really fun to really, really super extra fun. Let's start off with number 7. At number 7, we have The Wolf, the Duck, and the Mouse by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. This one blows kids' minds on the sheer audacity of the setting alone. 80% of the story here takes place inside the belly of a wolf. Not just that, but this setting is portrayed as this perfectly normal place for things like a candlelit dinner. Kids are hooked from the jump when, in the opening pages, this cute little mouse is swallowed by the wolf. Wait a minute, characters can get eaten here? We're in that kind of story? Yes, we are. Once in the belly of the wolf, we fall in love with the banter between Mouse and the duck that he discovers as his fellow resident of the wolf's belly, who is perfectly delighted to be there. The seamless transition from the scary to the absurd is thrilling for a kid audience. And just when Barnett lulls us into utter enchantment at the life of Mouse and Duck, he punctures the feeling of equanimity with the appearance of a hunter in the woods. Here, kids get to capitalize on their knowledge of fairy tale tropes, which they love to do. The real showstopper here is the page turn where the duck and the mouse burst forth from the wolf's jaws to battle the hunter, complete with DIY saucepan, battle helmet, and tablecloth cape. If you think you can tell from my rave here today that my rankings are going to be super relative and kind of an absurd exercise because even number 7 is just fantastic, well, you've got the right idea. There is nothing but good stuff here on today's list. That was The Wolf, the Duck, and the Mouse by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. At number 6, we have The Great Zapfino by Mac Barnett, illustrated by Marla Frazee. I love including this one in my Mac Barnett author study because it really stretches the bounds of kids' understanding of what an author does and what an illustrator does and how that storytelling work can get a little bit blurry. What do I mean? 90% of the words in this book appear on a single page that comes right at the beginning of the story. The rest is wordless, leaving the readers to tell the story themselves that they see in the pictures. In this story, we're immersed in this grayscale circus world where we meet Zapfino. We are told from the title that he is great, but the image that we're met with is quite different. Zapfino is small and his posture is terrible, and he does not look very great at all. The ringmaster in the story proclaims his greatness and narrates this feat of daring do that we're about to witness. Meanwhile, we see Zapfino on the page at the top of the diving board, struggling. The spread where we see him deliberating, he's just looking and thinking and thinking and looking, is a brilliant spot to pause with your readers and prompt kids to narrate what Zapfino might be thinking or feeling, highlighting that Mac and Marla are telling the story totally with pictures and inviting us as the readers into the storytelling. My readers especially delight in the details of this book. They love to pause and enjoy the rabbit holes of possibility that the pictures provide, studying things like what are all the people doing in the elevator, or where is Zabfino when he disembarks the airplane for his new life. I love to regularly read wordless picture books aloud in my library because of how empowering they are for a kid audience. Reading wordless books aloud also normalizes the work of deriving story from pictures and encourages kids to check out and enjoy picture books regardless of what someone might describe as their reading, quote, level. I cannot talk about Zabfino without also shouting out what I still maintain is the very best flap copy in all of KidLit. It is one word and says simply, behold. That was The Great Zabfino by Mac Barnett, illustrated by Marla Frazee. Okay, as we move into today's top five, we're getting to the part of the list that feels like extra semantic impossibility. As I worked on the list, I kept having moments of, wait, should this book go ahead of that one? As I got into describing each book, I just wanted to keep bumping all of them up, which fundamentally indicates a really good thing, but doesn't really help us when it comes to the goal of actually making a ranked list. So we're sticking with my gut order here, but know that as we move from 5 to 1, we have only read aloud gold. So number 5, Circle by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. This is actually the third book in the Shape Island trilogy, but my readers were able to jump in here and caught on to the personalities of the trio with no issue at all. To be honest, I picked this one to read aloud because it was the only one that was checked in the week that I needed it, but I was so delighted with the experience that I will absolutely do it again this way in the future on purpose. In this story, we meet a very bossy Circle who is putting her friends through the paces of playing this kind of hide-and-seek game. She sets the rule of not going in the cave, which we of course know immediately means somebody is going in that cave. The real giddy delight here comes when we follow Circle into the cave in pursuit of Triangle, who of course went in the cave. But in page after page of total darkness, the spreads are all black with just those signature John Clausen eyeballs for the characters, we figure out that the character Circle is talking to is not, in fact, Triangle. Who is it? A bear? Some other shape? Something else entirely? Here, again, Barnett almost passes the pen to the reader, inviting us squarely into the work of imagination and possibility that makes the story so much fun. In fact, he leaves the ending completely open, literally ending the story with a question. This is such a fun experience with an audience of kid readers. I love to pause and help the kids notice what just happened and how they felt about it. I ask, did Mac tell you the ending? No. Who told the ending? Kids either answer, we did, or nobody. And their answers are a pretty close proxy for their personalities as readers, whether they're intrigued and delighted by an open ending or big mad about it. We talk about how books can give strong feelings and how noticing their feelings can help them figure out what kind of reader they are. Kids name whether they were excited or mad at the way Barnett ended the story and whether they might like to read more stories like it in the future. This one has been a very popular request at checkout time since we read it. Testament to the power that Barnett's respect of kids as consumers of good art holds with his readers. They can handle it, and in fact, they want to. That was Circle by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. At number 4, we have The Three Billy Goats Gruff by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. Look, I actually don't want to get into too much detail of this one because I don't want to rob you of the delight of a certain page turn that comes at the end. But know that when kids talk about this one, they talk about that one page. It packs big surprise and big delight, and kids love it. The general setup here is that this is a retelling of the classic fairy tale, The Three Billy Goats Gruff. But what makes it read aloud gold is the voice of the troll under the bridge. If reading this one aloud, take a moment to consider your literal voice. You are going to need a gritty, no-holds-barred voice for reading the troll's dialogue. Then, let it rip and enjoy the bizarre and hilarious things that the troll says. Kids will both cringe and cheer each time he launches into one of his monologues listing all the ways he wants to cook and eat goat. Go big and just roll around in the read-aloud bliss of these passages. Then, after you experience the surprise and delight of that one page, what I'm not going to tell you any more about, come back and tell me what your readers thought. This one makes kids just giddy when they see that it's checked in because they're super excited to have a turn to take it home and reread it for themselves. That was The Three Billy Goats Gruff by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. At number three, we have The Rules of the House by Mac Barnett, illustrated by Matt Myers. Published in 2016, this one is a bit of a deeper cut from Mac's backlist. If you are a more recent Mac Barnett fan and have not picked this one up, I am so excited for you. Do not skip this one. I set this one up by telling my readers that today we get to read a slightly spooky story. This will get some of your kids very excited. Now, I temper the scary factor for kids who might be more sensitive by quickly pointing out the toothbrush on the back cover. I say, wait a minute, a spooky story with a warning to, quote, always carry a toothbrush? How is a toothbrush gonna help us? Guess we'd better read to find out. This gives more sensitive readers a feeling of levity and something a little bit sillier to look for. In this story, a brother and sister head to a lake cabin on vacation. The cabin has some very clear rules, and in tropey perfection, one sibling lives to follow them while the other longs to break them. Here, when the rules get broken, weird and spooky things happen as household objects come to life and threaten to eat the children. Get your character voices ready for the three villains here. Lay the tension on thick, and then get ready for the relieved laughter when the kid hero outsmarts the evil villains and a literal toothbrush saves the day. It is too soon to tell, but I suspect that this one is going to join the ranks of most popular picture book checkouts in my library. Kids just love both the wildly relatable sibling dynamic here, as well as the invitation to embrace your inner rule breaker. That was The Rules of the House by Mac Barnett, illustrated by Matt Myers. At number two, we have Sam and Dave Dig a Hole by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. Does a better picture book read aloud than Sam and Dave Dig a Hole exist? Show me one. I dare you. Those are fighting words, so I know I need to back them up. Just what is it that makes this book so good as a read aloud? Like in some of the other Barnett-Clausen matchups I have shared today, it is the pure alchemy of restrained text paired with deadpan visual storytelling. This combination gives kids the thrill of being the ones who get to chisel out both the funniest and the most frustrating parts of the story. This one will have your kids gasping, cheering, and crying out in agony when they see things the characters do. You will hear lots of comments like, come on, and no. In this story, Sam and Dave engage in an age-old pastime. They are digging a hole in search of something spectacular. The kid reader here gets to be omniscient. They see and know things that Sam and Dave do not, like a series of ever larger diamonds that their hole just misses over and over, or this dog who knows more than the humans because don't they always? Just when the reader gets comfortable with their know-it-all status and with what they believe to be the stakes of the story, Barnett yanks the rug right out from under you and leaves you in an open-ended, maybe multiverse of ambiguity. And kids love it. What just happened? Barnett doesn't tell. They get to decide. And your kids will launch into impassioned 5-point arguments about why their theory of the story is in fact the right one. This one won a Caldecott honor for a reason and is truly one of my favorite read-alouds of all time. As a side note, when this book published, Mac and John made a really funny trailer for it. They filmed themselves in the desert digging a hole and put it with this really kind of hokey music, kind of on time lapse. I played it for my kids before I read the story to them, and it set a really fun, playful mood. I will put a link to the video in the show notes if you want to watch it for your own pleasure or with your readers. That was Sam and Dave Dig a Hole by Mac Barnett, illustrated by John Clausen. All right, here we are. Number one, my top favorite Mac Barnett book to read aloud is The First Cat in Space Ate Pizza by Mac Barnett, illustrated by Sean Harris. Wait a minute, you say. You're talking about storytime read-alouds for your library class. I thought those had to be picture books. But this is a 320-page graphic novel. Yes. Yes, it is. I love reading graphic novels aloud under my document camera. It gives them broader readership in my library, and it sends a critical message that, yes, graphic novels are valued and celebrated and get to hold center stage in my library. And that if you read only graphic novels, your reading is valued and celebrated in my library too. For this reason, I actually think that classroom teachers should start the year reading aloud a graphic novel or doing it anytime, affirming rather than stigmatizing their readers and their preferences. But back to The First Cat in Space. I actually consider it one of my sacred duties as an elementary school librarian to introduce as many readers to this series as possible during my years in the library. And it was with great delight that I got to do that for 200 kids during this particular author study. I start out by giving a little context for how Mac and Sean came up with the idea for this book. We talk about the live cartoon and how when COVID first happened and school closed down, Mac and Sean wanted to do something fun for the kids who were stuck at home. As a side note, it was super interesting to hear the range of my readers' response to remembering this time. Here we're talking about kids who were in preschool during COVID lockdown. So I preview the firstcatinspace.com for my readers so they can visit it on their own to access the live cartoons later if they want to. Then we watch the first episode together. Yes, I'm telling you about my favorite Mac Barnett read aloud experience, and it involves first watching a video. It is just pure joy for me hearing kids giggle the first time they hear, "Oh my mama llama," or hearing them cackle the first time Laz's robot arm extends and extends and extends. I love setting this series up for my readers with the live cartoon because it really just immerses them in the tone and the voices that Barnett and Harris have created and gives them kind of a more fluid access point for the story when they pick it up on their own. So after watching the episode, we turn back to the book and we flip through the opening chapters. We notice connections and differences between the cartoon and the book, And here, readers make really powerful observations about the differences between the rough draft, the cartoon in this case, and the final version. But above all, they just have fun building that memory of an incredibly positive experience together that was centered on a book, building those neural pathways that say, yes, good things live here on the page, laughter and shock and delight. These are the experiences that I want to build over and over for my readers, and the pure delight of sharing the first cat with kids is why it ranks as my number one favorite Mac Barnett read aloud. It is also a fun bonus to then share the website with my second and third grade teachers who can go on and enjoy more episodes of the live cartoon with their class if they want to. Which honestly, at this time of the school year, getting a source of new to you 5-minute videos that you can throw on at times when your class just needs a break feels like a huge gift for my teachers. That was The First Cat in Space Ate Pizza by Mac Barnett and Sean Harris. A couple of side notes for doing an author study unit in general, and one about Mac Barnett in particular. I both begin and end the unit by visiting Mac Barnett's website and scrolling through the covers of Mac's books. We discuss that we are not reading all of Mac's books. In fact, we are sampling only a few. We talk about how we could actually read a Mac book every week of library for the whole year and not run out. Cue some readers campaigning to do just this. And we talk about where Mac's books live in the library so kids can continue to read them on their own. I also love to root the unit in open-ended questions. Before and after each week's story, we ask questions like, what do we notice about Mac's books? What kind of storyteller is Mac? What feelings do Mac's stories have inside? I love doing a Mac Barnett author study because it leaves my readers equal parts empowered and delighted. When describing his forthcoming book for adults that is about children's literature, Mac recently said this, "I think children are brilliant readers who deserve great art." This deep respect that Mac holds for children as readers really just shone through during my author study. As an interesting side note, this adult book about children's literature is being published in Italian. So we all either need to download Duolingo and learn Italian immediately, or we will be collectively testing the bounds of Google Translate while we wait for an English edition. Because of the way that Mac consistently invites the reader into the work of storytelling, my readers know that when they pick up a Mac Barnett book, they have a job to do, and it's gonna be a fun one. That concludes today's book list episode. Be sure to come back next week for a Help, My Kid Needs a Book episode. If you liked what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and share the show with your kidlit-loving friends. If you want more book delight in your life from me, Chrissy, you can find me on Instagram at Library Chrissy. You can also follow the show at Book Delight Pod and subscribe to my free monthly kidlit newsletter by visiting librarychrissy.substack.com. If you want to support the show or get more book talk from me between episodes, you can upgrade to becoming a paid subscriber on Substack. For $7 a month, you're helping to pay the costs of producing the show while also getting a free weekly treat from me in your inbox with things like bonus book lists, library lesson ideas, and reviews of my grown-up reads. This week, I am reading Enola Holmes, the graphic novel by Serena Blasco. As always, thank you for listening and happy reading.